You are listening to Off the Record, powered by 4th District.
Yo, we about to have an interview with my man, No Malice. Some of y'all knew him as Malice from the clips. Mr. Me Too. You know, he's a good dude. He has a movie coming out on March 27th called The End of Malice. It is to air on Revolt. Good dude, came to the Lord. We're going to learn his story, all right? Let's get into it.
What up? What's good?
Oh, man, exciting. So are you in Virginia right now, or are you traveling?
Yeah, man. No, I'm in Virginia Beach. I'm home, actually. Just left Windy.
Okay. So, yeah, you've been busy hitting the streets, doing a tour and promoting your movie, The End of Malice. Tell us about the tour process and promoting the film, and then we'll get into the actual film. Like, what's it like, man? How many cities did you hit?
Yeah, no doubt. So it was a 16 city tour. I don't know what happened in St. Louis. We didn't get to do St. Louis for whatever reason, but we hit 15 cities, and we went taking the film, having, you know, screening. What we would do in the morning is basically hit radio. We had the good fortune of hitting a few prisons. I think we went to like 7 prisons while we were out there, 7 different cities. So that was definitely cool. At night we would show the movie and have a Q&A, you know, build with the people, answer some questions, and you know, it was just some pretty good fellowship, man. It was really good.
Let's talk about the film itself.
Okay.
What is the film? Give our listeners who may not have caught up with any of the promotion that you've been doing, tell us about the film End of Malice. What's the heart behind it and why you did it?
Definitely. The film entitled The End of Malice is the documentary of my life. Basically, you know, it's just talking about how I was able to achieve so many of the materialistic things so many people aspire to have, and, you know, just that quote-unquote American dream, and, you know, the fame, the fortune, the wealth, and, you know, everything that goes with it. But in my case, I still felt an emptiness. I still was not fulfilled. You know, so I guess basically, you know, just having all of those things, but without Jesus, that void was still in my heart. Like, mm-hmm. I was empty inside.
So the movie is, I watched it, man, is actually good. And I'm not saying that just because most Christian production is terrible. And when I walked into the film, when I walked into the joint, I thought it was going to be terrible, because I just, you know, that's just my assessment of when I know that Christian, I guess you could say a Christian production is behind it. But off the top,
right.
Within the first 2 minutes, I heard an F-bomb and then a nigga here. And this ain't your regular Christian film. And so the one thing I will, and I'm not saying that's what made the film good, but what I
of
thought took it over the top was the fact that it was real. It was raw. The elements were authentic. And it didn't make the story cheap at all, because by not making the story cheap, it showed the amazing grace that it took to bring somebody like you from the dark to the light.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
The film was, tell me, like, was having the authenticness and the rawness of the film, was that a hard collaboration, or was that a hard compromise and negotiation with the I Am Second team?
No. Actually, I think I was wussing out a little bit with the language. I Am Second. They wanted to go hard, you know.
And you
know how it is. You know how it is. Like in the early stages of you know, coming to the Lord. Like it's just so radical. So you just want to do away with everything that just ain't, you know, that's ungodly. You know what I'm saying? But then after, you know, I guess God, you know, as he teaches you and shows you, you know, it kind of, you know, calms down a little bit, and you're not so dogmatic, you know, and you have to remember that it's really where you come from. When I think of, you know, what I was into and where I came from and what the Lord delivered me from, It was real. It wasn't cute, and you know, it was very much real. I was in the pit, you know, and it's just amazing, you know, how he came and called me and gave my life new purpose. So in the film stays very much true to that, you know. You know, you may not want to hear it, and it's not a lot of language in it, but the language in it, you might not want to hear it, but it is true to actual life, and that nothing is too big or, you know, foreign to God. God is aware of everything. There's nothing he doesn't know about. You can't catch him off guard, can't catch him by surprise. And I think that's what makes it relatable and you know, let people know, you know, that he'll come for you right where you are, no matter what mess you're in. So yeah, it definitely gives that real factor to it.
Absolutely. So the film airs March 27th on Revolt. There's some, you know, some A-list individuals in the film who speak highly of you, from Pusha to Pharrell and other individuals.
Right.
Tell us about your relationship with those gentlemen today. Like, obviously you don't collaborate them musically wise anymore, but what is your relationship with your brother and with Pharrell as of today, and how do they feel about you, like your this transformation and this conversion?
You know, it has been nothing but respect, and you know, I'm always, you know, thanking God for just the fact that he has allowed me to be a witness to, you know, like my brother and Pharrell, and, you know, just the witness that he has made me to be. I'm just very thankful for that, because there are so many cracks and crevices that the enemy would use to pit me against my brother in this, you know? And we have avoided every pit in every I guess media outlet where I get a chance to speak, or he gets a chance to speak. You know, they can kind of twist your words and make it seem like this and that, and it's just amazing how God does things, because, you know, we know each other, and we know, you know, the heart that we have for each other, so nothing would ever be ill will or any kind of bad intentions. And you know, he has respected everything that I've done, said, my walk. He has totally respected it, and even in our conversation, he receives everything, you know, that I say to him, and he doesn't shun anything. And it's just amazing. It's just amazing how God allow us to, you know, because, you know, Christ come to separate. You know what I'm saying? Like, he come to separate. So to allow me to witness and, you know, and just speak with my brother and have conversations that mean something is just amazing. And, you know, our relationship is great. My relationship with Pharrell is great. You know, I know the calling that God has put on my life. I'm walking in it. I'm trying to listen to him and let him, you know, lead me, you know, so I'm definitely not going to compromise that. But on the same token, you know, we are here to, you know, tell others about the good news and the gospel, and that this word is available to them as well. So, you know, everything is really good, man. It's really good.
Amen, bro. That's let me introduce myself. My name is Adon Bean. I work with at 4th District, run this with show. So I just want to say again, on behalf of the team here, we're really thankful that you taking the time to speak with us about the project, about the documentary, and everything that you have going on.
Absolutely, man, my pleasure, definitely.
Wonderful. I actually also had a couple questions that I guess fall in line with kind of where you were just talking about with your relationship with your brother Pusha. I know you have gotten this question 1,001 times since you have been doing the press run and things like that for this movie. But you know, I definitely listened to kind of the Combat Jack interview and some others, and just curious, like, while it's evident when we hear you speak, when we hear you talk, regardless of where you are, you have no problem sharing the good news of what Jesus Christ has done in your life. And with that being said, it's, you know, we've kind of come up like wondering, like, you know, we're still hip hop enthusiasts here. So we were just as much fans of what the work that the Clips did as a unit, for the talent and for the skill, but we're also just really, I guess, applauding this change in your life. What is the answer when people when people ask, like, do you see it as even a possibility of you reconnecting, reuniting with your brother as the Clips in any capacity, shape, or form? It's obviously that's family, but in terms of anything musically, could you see yourself doing that, even holding fast and true to the change that has occurred in your life? Do you understand the question, I guess, I'm asking there?
Right, right. I believe I do. I believe I do. And as far as holding fast and true to the calling on my life, that I don't have an, that's not an option.
Right.
I mean, I must, I have to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even by my own strength. I'll make that clear. And some, I don't even like saying, you know, this is not me, it's not my own strength, because so many, you say that so much, you know, people start to wonder, maybe you do think it's about you.
Right,
you
right.
know what I'm saying? Some things go without, you know, goes without being said, but, My calling, that's in stone. That's what that is. I don't want to send mixed messages.
Sure.
I don't want anyone to think, you know, you could be this way or you could be that way, and you can have a little bit of both. It's not my, anything that comes out my mouth, as long as the Lord gives me strength, is going to be, you know, solid and rooted in the Word of God, you know, period. That's sure. That's just that.
Yo, so let me ask this question.
And uh-huh. you know, and so I don't want to put myself in the proximity of anything that might, you know, say otherwise, or, you know, not be as firm. So I don't have the luxury of being in a group, you know, you know, I could do the group thing now, you know,
sure.
that if I thought it could work now, I could do that now. But I don't believe that, you know, that's the calling on my life like that. So, and I also believe that, you know, there's so many people that depend on, the Word of God, and God is using me as a vessel, of course. But so I'm saying, so if I kowtow to anything, like, it's like, what, you know, what are we going to lay hold of?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As far as, you know, the Lord using the Word through me. So
mm-hmm.
you know, I how can two walk together unless they agree, as the Word says?
Gotcha.
I believe one day God is going to do something incredible,
mm-hmm.
you know? So I'm not shutting the door on nothing, and we'll see. And should that day come, I'll know, you know, I'll be able to recognize it if I see it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess another follow-up question that I had around that was also just, you know, listening to your style, you know, as it's evolved, and you know, even like your earlier music, of course, with your brother and through the projects with the Clips, now that you find yourself reemerging in, I guess, as this changed man, right, as this person who's been touched by God, you still find yourself mm-hmm. with that same access that you had before, right? You still have that same relationships with Pharrell or even just with media markets, the Hot 97s, Power 105, all
yeah.
these places are still very interested and keyed into what you're doing. And so that is very just
right.
an awesome ministry opportunity. I'm curious, you know, did you ever feel pressure to, I guess what I'm trying to say is when you were doing the Clips, you guys were so talented and skilled at using double and triple entendres and subtlety to really break
right.
down the lifestyle that you all were living, you know. And I think about even lines like Generation Lost, they saying they can't reach us, the answer is the Lord,
right.
like Saturday Night Fever. Like, even then you were weaving
Amen.
Things in there. But I'm curious, do you find yourself now wondering if, man, should I kind of like find some different subtle ways to kind of work through my message of the gospel into my current music? Or do you feel like, hey, you know, almost like the, you know, what Cross Movement used to say, like, I can't overdo something that's been so underdone, you know what I mean? So I want to overdo it in this current market. Are those thoughts with your creative process that you have now when you approach your music?
Bro, I have to keep it all the way real. I, as far as music goes, I don't even know, like, if I would even be the conventional rapper anymore. I'm not even focused on music. If I do music, you know, it's because I felt inspired and I wanted to put something out. But my agenda is not like put an album together, market it, promote it, put it out. It's just not that. And you can probably tell by my music work ethic with it, you know. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not into that like that.
So like, you're saying you're more of a, you're trying to be more an evangelist, communicator rather than an artist. Is that what I'm hearing?
I just feel like, you know, God is opening doors for me, man, and you know, I'm trying to be diligent and listen and be led, you know.
Basically, you know? So would you judge me if I still rock out to grinding is the question.
I wouldn't. We can't act like grinding didn't. We can't act like grinding didn't happen. You
okay.
know what I'm saying?
Right.
We can't act like that.
I just want to make sure. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No. You cool. You cool with
Cause
me?
Because next time you come, when you come to the ATL and I'm playing Mr. Me Too, like don't look at me crazy.
No. Listen, you all right with me? That's all right. A real catalog. Like, no, that music is real. Yeah. I get
Man,
it.
Man, bro, thank you so much. Once again. The End of Malice is going to be hitting Revolt.
Can I say something?
Nope, you cannot. You can. No, I'm just joking. Yeah,
please,
bro.
Please.
Yeah.
So let me tell you what happened. So when I was talking to Show, you know, he hit me on the phone, and we texting, and he told me Monday we're going to do the thing. You know, da da da. I was like, all right, cool. So I hit him back. So I said. I said the only thing I need is a reminder and we can rock out. So then I started thinking, I said, nah, I don't want nobody thinking like, oh, he needs somebody to call and remind him or whatever. So I hit back. I said, you know what? I'll put it in my phone, right?
Yeah.
So I put it in my phone. I didn't even know how to really work it in the phone. I just tried it, whatever, you know, and it worked. So then when Monday come, I get an alert saying you have an event, but I didn't put what the event was. You know what I'm saying?
Word.
So I didn't even think, I didn't know what it was. So anyway, needless to say, I missed the whole Monday or whatever only because I didn't want to feel like I was trying to be bougie asking for help because I needed help. I needed a reminder, and I missed the whole thing. So I apologize.
No, there's a sermon in that, brother. You just preached. That's a sermon right there. You leaning on your own understanding, huh? But God, huh? Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
You don't want me to preach this thing.
No, I don't. Absolutely. I don't want you to.
I'm mad you thought that Show would be able to remind you. Like, that's what I'm actually mad at. That you thought Show would be organized.
But usually, that's what I... Yo, man.
Yeah, I'm just as bad on organization, dog. Look, first of all, it's not even your fault because I had to cancel the joint because my car broke down on the way up here. So, and I forgot to tell you that we weren't doing it. So.
Hey, look. I kind of felt like it wasn't all my fault because I didn't hear from you. I'm like, well, wait a minute.
Oh, so now you're backpedaling. Now you're backpedaling, bro. Anyway, man. Hey, bro, I appreciate you. March 27th, y'all, check it out. It's dope. I enjoyed it. We gonna have you back, man, to talk hip hop. I know you're not you're probably not as you hinted last time we chatted. You hinted that you're not really up on Christian hip hop.
I'm out the loop, baby.
Yeah, so I do want to talk to you just about hip hop in general and like just the responsibility, not only just Christian, but as a Christian, but as a citizen, man. I think you have some insightful stuff to say because you've seen how these dudes lost a life and a lot of them don't live it and they perpetuate an idea that a lot of these kids
talk about that all day. We could talk about, I'm telling you,
well, give me some.
They got quiet. They didn't want to talk about nothing. Like, yo, them dudes, oh my goodness, be about when we come around, y'all don't know nothing. You don't talk about nothing. It's crazy. Oh, it's so many fraudulent. I mean, fraudulent. But make good music, though, so. As long as you make good music.
Give me a percentage.
I can't be mad.
But give me a percentage of fraudulent cats out there. Like, if there's... If you would say, man, this is these this amount of dudes are just they're not what they claim to be.
I'll do better than that. I will say the ones who talk it the most ain't even. We ain't even gotta go into the percentages. You take the ones who is basically known for it and then it's not even close. It's not even close, man. It's not even right. I believe you can tell by the music. If you know anything about it, you can just tell by what they're saying. It just ain't adding up right.
Yo,
it ain't adding up right.
I ain't trying to start no beef in your house, but when your brother made New God Flow, how'd you feel about that? Did you punch him? Like, what was the?
Go ahead.
When he was like, I believe there's a God above me, but I'm just a God of everything else. Was that like, yo, you blaspheming, I'm going to punch you in your mouth?
Nah, you know what it is, bro? I'm going to tell you. Those things, like, and that's why I stay away from it all, because I have to have tunnel vision. But there are certain lyrics that they find me, and it pricks me.
Yeah.
You know, certain lyrics definitely prick me, but I rely on my faith and I pray and I let the Lord, you know, deal with it, because the enemy wants me to say something or you know, and then I say something then to turn him off and this, that, you know what I'm saying? And so it's really warfare.
Yeah.
It's definitely spiritual warfare.
Word.
So I have to handle it as such, and I just resort to that word. I go to that word.
Amen, bro.
And let God work it out. Yep.
Last question. Very, very, very important question. Is Pharrell really a vampire? Is that dude like, because he never ages?
Hey, he never ages. I'm not going to say he's a vampire, but I will say this. One time I walked in this house and he was hanging upside down.
I'm done. And on that note, hey, yo, bro. Hey, bro, thank you so much, man. It was dope. We going to definitely have you back again.
Please do, man. Let's do it again.
No, we're going to have you, and we're going to have your man Iceman. Because for y'all folks who for y'all folks who watch the documentary, you're going to fall in love with Iceman. I think they intentionally tried not to give him too much shine because they knew he was going to steal the whole show. So Gene was on some. Hey, don't give him too much time. But the OG.
No, I couldn't hate on my man. That's my best friend. I could never hate on him.
Yeah, the OG did his thing. He did his thing on it. It was dope. So tell us about, before you go, tell us what you got going on, and we'll end it with that. Like, what's going on other than just the documentary? And how people stay in contact with you.
No doubt. So, okay, we got the documentary, and also with the documentary, we have the soundtrack. It's called Moving Weight. So, you know, check out that soundtrack that goes along with it. I got the first single on it. It's called Best Believe It, featuring a new cat by the name of MD Uno. I also have a podcast myself. It's called The Re-Envision Radio Show. It's on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, all of that. That's me and the homie Iceman that y'all were just talking about. So, you know, the Iceman podcast partner. You also see him in the movie. And, so that's pretty much it, man. You know, I do speaking engagements. I go around colleges. I speak anywhere. I speak with at-risk youth, you know, churches and all of that. And I share my testimony and speak the word of God. So you can check me out on NoMalice757. That's on Twitter and also on Instagram, NoMalice757. I got it, NoMalice757 on Snapchat as well, but I ain't good with that. I ain't consistent with that joint. But, yeah, check out my podcast, The Re-Envision Radio Show.
Dope, bro. Appreciate you, man. You have a dope night, bro.
Grinding. Grinding. We should ask him what he keeps in the lining.
What is it? What do you keep in the lining?
Shoot, is it a shamrock?
We missed on that question.
We did.
Oh, man.
What do you keep in the lining?
For the longest time when that song was out, I never heard the whisper of grinding. Yeah. I kept being like, is it just, where's, oh, it's just in the grinding. Like, the, I never heard the,
grinding.
Yeah, I never
you
heard
that.
Oh, yeah. That's in there?
Yeah.
Grinding.
You never heard that?
First of all, again.
You were there. But see, the funny thing is I was in that same state. I was in the super Christian, don't listen to secular music state. So this is what I missed out on.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what I missed out on. Mm. I missed out on the Black album. Mm. I missed out
like
on
you didn't miss out on late. Anything.
What?
Yeah, you did.
He's a hater. He's a Jay-Z hater. So anyway.
Why do people hate Jay-Z?
Because they love California, pop. He loves pop.
Tupac said, Jay-Z die slow. After that, there was no need for me to listen to Jay-Z. What is there to me? What? Jay-Z
anyway,
die slow.
Just some key albums that I missed.
Yeah.
Couple key albums.
Yeah.
Black album, Late Registration. Mm-hmm. I think I missed the Speaker Box, Love Below.
Mm-hmm. My neck and my back from Kid. My neck.
I'm glad I missed that.
So you became a Christian like 2003?
No, I became a Christian in 98. Like 99.
Oh, so you were on your super Christian kick for a while.
Yeah, like I gave up but I still listen to secular music up until about 2000, 2000. Yeah. But there was a point where I was like, you know what? I can't do it. Like,
I was cold turkey, 97 to like 2006.
We so 2006 is when I...
Yeah, we all got spots where it's just like, I don't know what happened during that period. Yeah. I missed out on when Swizz Beatz ran everything, which I'm glad about.
You don't like Swizzy?
I was good. I was good.
That was DMX's run.
Well, no, like early DMX I got, but like that Rough Rider, that second iteration of Rough Riders, where it was like 2000, 2001, that like... The bad, like Jay-Z Volume 2 or whatever. Uh-huh. Like, that's the ones where I'm like, I had to go back to get to that stuff.
I took an obligatory hiatus when Scott Storch was doing every single beat.
Oh, okay.
So when white Jewish people invade, I kind of go.
That dude is broke and does dope.
Dude.
Noisy.
Yes. Shout out to Vice's new channel.
I haven't seen that episode. I saw the Kendrick Lamar. I haven't saw the whole Kendrick Lamar joint.
So that's the first one.
Yeah.
Vice, they don't do anything bad. Ever.
So it's Noisy Vice?
Yes.
Noisy show
is
an
episode
Vice.
Of Vice. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was wondering, I was like, this is very, felt like very Vice's.
But I always feel like, oh, let's observe the black in their natural habitat.
That's kind of how that bothers me about
all about Vice.
Yeah.
Even when they go to Liberia, I'm like,
they do it everything. Like, they was kicking it with the Taliban one day. I'm like, how are y'all kicking it with ISIS? Like,
yeah, I've been wondering how they be getting these passes.
Like, what?
I'm like,
oh, a lot of bad people get paid money.
Really?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but it's about the story. Like,
okay.
And they're making that money back.
Yeah. They did the dope one about the dude who was trying, who started the, what college was that where he did the white.
Balls Deep? Is that the show you're talking about?
No. It was the show on Vice where it was the white college student who started a white student union.
Oh.
Was it Townsend? I think it was Townsend University in Pennsylvania, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, I think I remember.
But he started a white student union.
Yeah.
And he would go.
I do remember that.
He went around.
Yeah.
Like, basically, started his group to protect the students against black people. Yeah. It's the funniest. Yeah. Some of my information, but it was just
that
hilarious.
Was a while ago.
I was like, this dude has all the courage of the world.
Yeah.
I was like, he is.
Yeah.
Like, part of him, he's crazy.
Yeah.
That's the kind of person you just like, I don't want to deal with.
Even their Noisy, the host, he's just like kind of this like awkward. They go with the awkward white dude as like their host.
Yeah, he reminds me of my man that used to be on the Daily Show. Rocka. Mo Rocka. Yeah, Mo Rocka. That's what he reminds me of.
All I know is on one of the episodes, he touches a man's penis. And I'm like, I'm good.
No.
It wasn't Noisy. It was the one where they go to like the Bear Club and all these like this gay.
We could trust JP to drop like four penises, two vaginas.
No, I'm saying like, you talk about investigative reporting. This dude went to this thing where it's like, it's not about sex. He fondled a man's penis while another man fondled his penis. And
why?
For the sake of
Journalism. Get out of here
with
that.
I'm like, bruh.
Nah.
It's not sexual. See, nobody got erect. We just da 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 da.
No, stop.
It's like you're affirming. It was four guys affirming each other while they were grabbing each other's junk. I'm like,
Adon is so upset right now.
No,
he's
I'm
like,
not anything.
How did we get here?
I am. Yeah.
Vice, this is what I'm saying, but this is the extremes they go to. This is why they.
Why did you have to bring that up? Though?
What else? That's it. They've only got four episodes that they show and stuff because they repeat stuff. But it's just like. Like
their interview, their sports interviews were pretty dope too, though.
Yeah,
they hung out with Marshawn Lynch one day, and that dude brought that grill.
That's the best.
Anyway, anything to deter from the penis conversation.
They had a gaycation in Jamaica. You know, Beanie Man was like, "We kill homosexuals. That's what we do. It's not a big deal."
Word,
Beanie Man.
I mean, that's what he said.
That's what he said.
He didn't say that, but it was just the idea.
The
like,
Bachi, what do they call him? Bachi Boys.
Bachi Boy.
Bachi Boy.
Yeah.
Bachi
Boys. But
and then they got Action Bronson's.
Bro, when is Ghostface gonna murder this dude in real life?
He's supposed to shut up. He got him, and he was silent, so he's still talking.
But I'm saying he has this show on Vice that's amazing, and he's still like alive.
No. He got stepped to I can't remember who passed. Somebody died. And a Wu affiliate stepped to Action. And Action has completely apologized.
Yeah,
a thousand times.
Yeah,
But he's still winning because he stole
part of that is you can't be mad at him. Ghost, let the man live. Had your moment.
Yeah.
Let Action, you are his father, right? You know what I'm saying?
And he has usurped you.
Yeah.
Your son
is. Yeah, but we understand why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But Ghost never said, "I'm shutting down your career." He just said, "I will beat the living."
Exactly.
You could die around talking reckless about me.
My brother let Teddy P talk for him. When you let Teddy P talk for you.
Yo, that's got to be a top five video. That's the reason why YouTube was created.
Yes.
That video right
Not for
there.
Cats, no, but for that right
but
there.
That video right there.
That's
man.
It.
Anyway, what's your topic, bro?
Man, I'll tell you what another thing that was created 10 years ago. Twitter is celebrating its anniversary.
Oh my god.
You realize that? So I want to talk to y'all about Twitter. Do y'all remember the first time y'all got on Twitter?
I do too.
Was I with you and Lecrae at
probably so.
Yeah.
Cause I they was
tell me that.
I was never on Twitter. I was on Facebook. I was a Facebook junkie. Mm-hmm. And everybody else is on Twitter. I'm like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
I think I had just got officially done with MySpace. I was like, yo, I'm not getting on another thing.
Man, I love
like,
this is MySpace. A flash in
the MySpace was it, bro.
I love MySpace.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, this ain't gonna last.
MySpace. I love Black Planet. You know how much work I got off of Black Planet?
I ain't get
It was popping.
I never had a Black Planet account, bro.
But you right.
Don't do that, bro.
Yeah, say that for Wednesday. Whenever y'all record Tuesday.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, say that. Teach his own. Keep that out of his own. I was actually, my first Twitter account was actually...
Show Baraka?
No. It was actually...
I'm sure I have it, bro. We was at a hotel somewhere,
bro. Blueprint.
Are you sure?
No, it was Lions and Liars. And then I started a Lions and Liars account, and then I switched it over to Blueprint, and then I started another account, Show Baraka, Lions and Liars, but I kept Show Baraka but never used it. And I remember my first ever tweet, I think, was Avoid the Fog or something like that, or
so,
Fighting the Fog.
It's funny you say that. So that's what I was going to do, was pull up everyone's first
can
tweet.
You,
yes.
You
oh, snap.
Yeah, so what we're going to talk about now.
Let's go.
No. Oh, snap.
Show Baraka showed up around July of 2009.
Yep. 2009.
Okay, July 1st.
Okay.
His first words were, Fighting the Fog.
Fighting the Fog.
I don't. You want to be so deep, just like the voice, you want to come through the table and just like, Fighting the Fog.
What is that?
Hey, yo. At the time, it was probably something deep.
I don't know. Seattle? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, no, I think it was July, so we were on tour. Yep, because it was the summertime. Mm-hmm. I think I was trying to say, yo, be focused.
Be clear.
Uh-huh. And that was my introduction. That's my introduction to Twitterverse.
That's how you came into the
game. That's how I came into the game, deep.
All right.
My second tweet, though?
Man, I ain't telling you.
Come on, give me the second one.
I don't know your second tweet. This don't work to help you find your second tweet. It just helps you find your first tweet.
That's it? Just the first tweet?
Just the first tweet.
Give the people the name of the site.
Oh, I'm gonna go through everybody first.
It's Twitter. It's on the Twitter's homepage right now. You can do
okay,
it.
Go ahead.
You know, but even just discover Twitter. But also, you know, so do you remember your first time you got on Twitter, John Parker, sir?
Oh, gosh, I'm telling you, it had to be 2010.
Black Planet had kicked him off.
That wheel ran
dry. Up. That's what
that wheel ran dry. I was like, the first night? Nah. I'm cool. This is getting too easy. I'm nervous. My mama raised me better.
I just see that, bro.
I'm just, yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Please, David, come back as soon as you can. No,
you wonder if Malice made it to this part of the podcast? Because he's like,
Malice did not make it.
It had to be 2010.
Yep.
I just, oh man, what could it have been?
Let me put you out your misery. Right. So March of 2010.
Nice.
John Parker comes through.
Later,
that's when I dropped my album.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
So did you only show up on Twitter for business purposes? Like,
probably because I didn't want to do it. Didn't want to do it. Uh-huh.
Well, it's a very John Parker tweet.
Oh,
you come through and say, in Memphis, just saw a man get summoned by a woman who said, "Come and get it, Inspector Gadget."
That's the first thing. That's it. That's how you came in the game, John.
You came into the world.
Oh man, I don't know what to do.
What? Hold up. Get a breathe. Hold up.
What context? Please.
Where in Memphis?
What in the world were you watching? Inspector Gadget or something?
Bruh, I'm saying I was probably just walking the streets, whatever we was doing, man. It had to be some Reach stuff, man. 2010 in March, man. Like, it was just Reach in Memphis. Is too long, bro. We was doing a concert or something, and I'm pretty sure I was just ear to the streets, bro. Hashtag overheard.
But it's not like you'd ever used Twitter before. Like, I heard this. Oh, this needs to be tweeted. Yes, like, right. This is going to be my first interaction with the Twitter.
Like, not
world.
Hello world, I'm on
no,
Twitter.
Right. Is this thing on? Nothing. He just came through, no mic check, in Memphis. Just saw a man get summoned by a woman who said, "Come and get it, Inspector Gadget." You ended by saying, "I might have passed on that one."
So is that like a... Is that a... Like a police interaction? Is that like a sexual?
I'm pretty sure that doing sex. I'm pretty sure that doing sex on the Memphis streets. Come and get it, Inspector Gadget. And you know, go Gadget Arms.
go Gadget Arms. Mm-mm. No, sir.
Man. There's a reason we have another podcast together.
There is.
Sorry, guys.
So, in true form, we're gonna move around this table to Dan Duncan. Do you remember when you got on Twitter?
I was in
college.
Did
you just look it up?
Huh?
Did you just look at it?
Yeah,
I figured.
Did you?
But did you remember though? Do you remember the time?
I remember having a Nokia phone, texting in my tweets.
Yeah. That's how I got on Twitter first.
Because you couldn't had
texting
to set it up
in tweets
so that. Because you couldn't do it mobily back then. And so you could text in your tweet and they would post to your Twitter for you.
Yeah, and it was a weird thing where at the time. So at the time, it was like, I remember you could get the people you followed, their tweets could come to you as text messages.
Wow. Yeah, for sure.
And I followed Questlove really early.
Oh, I did too.
Which was a problem.
Yeah, I unfollowed that joke so quick.
I was getting so many text messages like, it's just
Questlove. It's just Questlove
saying he likes cereal. it's very weird.
But him and John Mayer, dog. Yeah. Him and John Mayer are the two people I remember following very early in the game and quickly like, I can't do it. I can't do it with you guys right now.
It's all good, but for yours, you got yours pulled up. You wanna. It's a very Dan, tweet. Like
I'm talking about the dogs. Probably.
Apparently, I was headed into the Georgia game.
Of course.
Look at that. Of course.
And
no good at labor monkeys.
I was all hyped up on some Georgia juice.
You were like Andy Murray is gonna throw 4 touchdowns today.
That was the Matt Stafford days.
Oh, was that Matt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is a tweet, man.
So yeah, headed to the Georgia game with the boys. Come with it.
There we go.
Yeah. Oh man.
In lieu of David Perdue not being here, we're gonna read him. Who
yes.
Came through.
My guess is he came through late.
May 2009. So he was
before me.
He beat
me. Before
me.
You were what?
I was April.
April. All right. So he wasn't too far behind. He said, trying to figure out why I'm a part of this mass texting system. Peer pressure, LOL.
That's
without the hashtag of peer pressure,
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's David Perdue right there. That's David. That's David. Good consistent. Stuff.
Man. And so, yes, I was here. I guess I beat everybody. That was January 2009.
That doesn't surprise me in the least.
Well, I want to know who was on it before 2009. Like, who was in this mug on 2006, like when it first started?
When
you said it's 10 years?
Yeah,
right?
I did. I was trying to figure. I mean, initially though, it wasn't a promoted site.
Right,
it was
right.
Just this internal thing. So part of this comes from I had read.
Wait. Don't. What was your tweet?
Sir? I'll get to it in a second. But I was just saying that where I kind of thought about talking about this is so about a year and some change ago, I read the book called Hatching Twitter, which is a I think the writer is from Wall Street Journal or whatever, but he kind of covers like the embryonic stages of this whole thing coming out and rolling out, and it's very fascinating. A lot of lies, a lot of like backstabbing, a lot of craziness, like really? any tech business company would come up with. But yeah, definitely Hatching check out Twitter. That bit. Hatching Twitter. I think the tagline is actually a true story of money, power, friendship, and betrayal. So it's really like a very interesting read. But yeah, so it's just interesting to look at Twitter at this point. I'll say this. My first tweet, it was, yeah, I guess pretty poetic. It was looking both ways before crossing my T's, which is a very stupid and very stupid and first tweet to have. But
looking both ways before I cross my T's.
Before crossing my T's.
That's Adonis. That's very Adonis.
I'll take that. Yeah, yeah.
I would say like I would think that our tweets fit us.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. Definitely. That's John's, crazy.
John's for sure. John's the most on point.
But I want
I'm sorry.
Come and get it, Inspector Gadget.
Come and get it.
Jesus. Probably the other way I want to direct this conversation. So we've all been on it now for at least, you know, 6-7 years at this point or whatever. What are some of y'all favorite Twitter moments? Like times when you were on there and you were just like, yo, I'm so glad this thing exists.
Every Black single Thanksgiving award show.
Every single award show. It's hard to think about watching any award show like now without Twitter being a part of that.
It would be so boring without it. But now you now you get this like Twitter to me is the best version of everyone. Like everyone thinks that about Instagram, but I actually think that about Twitter because you have such limited characters to get your thought across, and if you can do it like cunningly, then you just get so many points in my book.
Got you.
And so, especially at award shows, it just provides so much opportunity for me to find out who's actually smart that I follow.
Yeah. yeah. Does it ever make you, does it make you lose? It did this for me. I realize some people that I really respect are terrible spellers. And it makes me like lose respect for some people, though. Like, I would watch some people's tweets like, oh, man, I really respect you. Like, yeah, I don't even want to name names. But
I'll name names. Like, my favorite's Propaganda because he'll tweet something multiple times and correct himself. So you can tell, like, he cares deeply. And so he'll tweet something and then, like, because I sit on my computer all day, I'll have TweetDeck up.
Sure.
So it'll pop up and then a split second later, disappear. And then pop back up and then disappear. And it was just like, clearly he keeps catching himself like, wrong pronunciation. And then deletes it again.
Shout out to Propaganda. Gosh. That's hilarious.
That edit button.
Yeah, man. I feel you.
Can
I wonder if Twitter's ever going to do an edit.
I don't know. I think they want people to get caught slipping. That's part of their thing. Probably. Like, hey, screenshot. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
I swear, like, you know, I feel like the first, I feel like the first maybe 5 to 6 hours of that Rachel Dolezal story.
Bruh.
Man.
That changed my world right there. Man. That was the best thing ever. The racial draft, the sending her off.
Dude. Or just even the ideas of just like just all the things that you like. Her, like the quizzes for her, like you, you must, like if you were black, you would know.
That. Like, bro, when I saw the Crown Royal bag, what do you do with this bag? I was like, I'm done.
Put change in it.
I was like, this is. But the thing, Black Twitter is releasing all of our little secrets in the community.
God.
That and Blackish, the TV show Blackish.
Yes.
Like all of Black community and Black culture is being left.
Stop telling.
Yeah, it's like you letting them know what we've been doing.
All jokes aside, you know, someone had said this, and I think it's true. If Black Twitter had collectively like locked all our profiles, I wonder what some like BuzzFeed or some of the, they would lose content.
Because some
of them just mine to see what are they talking. Okay, we're just gonna cover this in this
way. They do.
But it's a very interesting thing. So I'd say that was a really hilarious time to be on Twitter. Mm. Anytime someone tweets something that you know they're gonna get fired for, like when that woman was on that plane
on the way to Africa.
Oh. Yes.
Oh.
And she was just in the plane, and there was
on
all
the
this
way there, ma'am.
That's
how do you
that's
get fired?
Top five.
In there?
That was amazing. For those who don't know, there's a woman named Justine Sacco who she tweeted. She's a director of corporate communications, and she tweeted
now she's homeless.
She tweeted going to Africa,
Hope I don't get AIDS. Just kidding. I'm white. And she boarded a plane. Right. It still hurts. It still hurts.
Like, what?
But she got on a plane, and then for the next 10 hours, Twitter roasted her and connected all of, like, reached out to her who she worked for, everything.
But then when she got off the plane, didn't she get met with a, like...
She got met with a fire. She got met right off the... It sucks to travel across the ocean to get fired. Yeah.
So it's like when Rick woke up from the zombie apocalypse, like, what just happened?
He's done.
What's going on right now?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I really don't... I can't think of... I mean, I thought the Arab Spring...
Yeah, that's really important.
Was like, yeah, it was huge. That's when I realized how powerful Twitter was. I was like, yo, this is deep.
What was nuts is... And I want you to continue that, but, like, I remember at that time... You could tweet like certain IP addresses for them, so they could use it, because Egypt had blocked the internet, like they had blocked, you know, digital communications, and so it felt like this really revolutionary time when you're like, you're just seeing this change happen across.
Well, you also think about like social media activism being birthed because of Twitter.
Absolutely.
Like, so I was following D-Ray before he was like anybody cared about him. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember how I started following him, but, and then when Ferguson happened, I remember him just being like a voice, like, yo, this is what's happening. And all of a sudden folks just start depending on him as the voice. Right.
Very true.
So I liking Twitter to like creating a new, kind of like a new voice and a new, almost like a new occupation and a new position for people who care deeply about issues and want to, you know, advocate. So I would probably say I'm not I don't watch award shows. Okay. One is I just don't really watch them. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I hate watching them and like being like on my phone. So I don't really do it. I have done that with a couple sporting events, like with the World Cup.
Okay.
I did it with that, and that made the World Cup better. Mm-hmm. But I love Twitter for like the hashtags that like that run for a while. Like, there was one, like, I can't remember it. Maybe you could do some. It was one about Africa. It was like,
all lions matter?
No. It was like Nigerian, like Nigerians are, and then like they would explain, oh, like,
dang,
if Nigerians in the club, the Nigerian would be and I can't remember. That mug had me dying laughing. There was the other one where like they can get a plate.
Oh, that Thanksgiving. That Black Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
amazing. They can get a play. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Black man handshakes. Black man greetings.
Yes.
Black man greetings. Dope. That Jordan's Drape. It's usually the ones I can think of right now. Yeah. Like, but the Rachel Dalzell joint was, that but was
even,
classic.
You know, I think even with Twitter, right, what you'd have to look at as well is just meme culture and the way that it's grown in that. So when you think of the crying Jordan meme, which I think is the greatest thing our generation has ever created.
Yep.
I say that kind of ironically, kind of seriously.
Not clean water, battery powered cars. Like,
I'm telling you, that picture of old Denzel.
Oh,
Uncle Denzel.
That's a strong number two. That's a strong number two.
I mean, so much, you know, intellect, ingenuity, and creativity goes into our meme creation.
Meme creation is amazing. Yo, Twitter, thank you, Twitter, for the meme creation.
I would say the, have y'all ever, did y'all ever read
Are
that?
You a saver? Do you save memes? Are you a saver, like, for the appropriate time?
I don't really
start doing that.
Yeah.
I got a Jeb Bush meme that's meme, dog. It's meme right now. I just waiting to use it. I'm waiting to use the Jeb Bush meme.
It's there.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay, but anyway, my bad.
Nah, man. I also wondered, did y'all ever read that story, that Zola story that came out last year?
Zola, Zola.
It's a crazy story.
Why do I know the story?
Super rated R, but it's a very intriguing story of this girl who goes on this, like, goes to Miami.
She disappeared.
And, like, there's this whole narrative that comes out. But it is probably the most engaging Twitter story you would ever read. And, like, all of these people saw it. Like, Ava DuVernay. All these people are just like, yo, you're a writer. Like, you guys could look it up right now, because I think they've storified it.
She told the story via Twitter, right?
Twitter, and it's a long story, but it's, you're paying attention with every single tweet.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, really interesting to go back to that. But yeah, man, I don't know. I just think it was good to kind of reflect on Twitter. I think that 4th District has really connected with a lot of people via Twitter as well.
My favorite Twitter moment is when Derek Minor got into
a real Twitter. He did. Derek Minor was not happy that we were not happy with his video. But Dan was really not happy with his video. And let
us
know.
That was the best right there.
They make such terrible videos.
He's not backing down. He's
and
I love it. Yep.
Anyway.
What is, do y'all have memorable like arguments? The only argument I've ever been in with somebody that was of note at the time was Pastor CD3. What's Pastor, the singing pastor that was on... Gosh, he did.
Oh, he was on J-Son and Thizzle stuff.
I think so. Yeah. 83
or PD. 83.
Is that what it was? Mm-hmm. I posted something about like.
Did he have a moral failing? Did that happen?
I don't know.
Maybe
sure.
Something. He just disappeared off the planet. He went from. He had that song like it was like a T-Pain stripper worship song, and that was like the last thing that I remember him doing.
Okay.
But it was like in that vein where it's like a background. It was like it wasn't background. That was, it was something about playing
that was
a background.
Depressed.
But it was just like you're on the stage and I'll just be in the background while you know somebody give you glory.
But you got in a beef with him. You got in
Twitter.
Yeah.
So I posted something about like maybe not prosperity gospel proper.
I think I remember
just,
this.
Yeah, but it was just the idea of like. Keeping God the main thing, and you know what I'm saying, and not being just trying to get money. I forgot what it was about, but this dude took it upon himself. I don't know. I'm nobody. I don't even know how you follow me or why. You know what I'm saying? But then he just tried to
you
roast
JP,
me.
You JP, bro. You was the Lions and Liars podcast.
Something,
come on
man.
Now, son.
But he just tried to roast me about like my take on like people, you know, not wanting to just keep God, Jesus the main thing. Like I don't like black people. Like I shouldn't be out here trying to convince black people that money's not important. Fool, you tripping. You know what I'm saying? So that was fun.
Did you have any Twitter hiccups? Any Twitter show? I'm looking at you. Like any tweet that got
all
misconstrued?
All of them, for sure.
Did you tell me tweet. That? Mm-hmm. Did you unfollow Reach when you left? Did anything like that happen? That happen?
Oh,
nah, I didn't unfollow anybody.
Oh wait, you didn't follow
blocked,
them to begin
I may
with.
I may have muted somebody.
Okay.
But I never unfollowed anybody.
Okay. Yeah,
but then I quickly, not quickly, over the time I unmuted, is that?
Yeah, that's fair.
But I've never blocked the person at all. Because I just like, you know, if you go hit me up, I'll either respond or I don't respond.
Mm. Right.
I've unfollowed a lot of people that I don't know. Because I feel like the moment I unfollow somebody I know, they're going to call me. Like I've had somebody literally call me.
Oh,
and
wow.
get mad at me for unfollowing.
How do people know who sits around? Do you get like notifications?
So some people have installed like certain apps that alert them when
life.
They get unfollowed.
Bro, get a life,
bro. I've gotten hit up on the why you unfollow me, and
get
I was
a
like,
life.
I don't like first, and it was one of the questions like, how do you know I unfollowed?
Yeah,
but it was just like, oh my, you know, man, I'm just on some trying to clean up.
You
my,
have that? You know?
I don't have it. Okay. But what's interesting is even like someone like so there's also a macro you can run that monitors people's bios and it shows you when something changes in their bio, which actually happened with Melissa Harris Perry, who was a you know, formerly of MSNBC and Nerdland or whatever.
she jumped the gun on that one.
she removed MSNBC from her bio, and apparently there was like a beat writer for who like caught it and like hit her up before anything went public. Was like, hey, what's going on there? You know what I'm saying? And there's really like a lot of internal tracking that happens this way. It is interesting that, you know, those things happen. But
well, I mean, it's the first thing you go change when the day I left Remedy.
Interesting.
The day I took Remedy out of my profile.
Wow. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so important. It's like, I mean, it's.
I'll check. Do you have Reach still in yours? You took Reach out. Reach was never in.
Why would I
feel like my wife's last name is still the same on all her stuff, man. I feel like I've done something wrong. It's still Ivana.Kennedy yet on Gmail.
I need you to get her to get that together.
I didn't know I was supposed to care, man.
You're claiming me?
I don't even know if she says she's married to me on Facebook, man.
She said it's still complicated.
It's pending.
It's complicated.
Pending. Oh.
Hey, show, when are you going to have a new profile update? On your profile,
pretty soon.
Yeah,
is this something I need to know about? On it, was it just
it's pretty soon? It's gonna be different. That's all I'm saying.
It's gonna be different.
It's gonna be different, bro.
But yeah,
a lot of things gonna change.
It don't have nothing to do with that whole like dude in the parking lot hitting on you situation, right,
bro?
Trapped in the car.
No, bro. I, you know what's funny, and I feel ashamed to admit this. I actually like Facebook more than I like Twitter.
Interesting.
Now, it used to be the other way for years.
Really?
But I don't like Twitter anymore.
I hate
anymore.
Them all. Can they all go away?
I can't stand Instagram. I just can't do Instagram.
Interesting.
Huh. I just don't like it.
I get amazing ideas, like seeing the people, like change scenes of people's heads and dancing around and different things, like that the Jordan memes on everything.
So on Facebook, how do you handle?
I like information,
but how do you handle all the bad information on Facebook?
I know I don't deal because with it
fake articles.
The thing about Twitter is that like when something's wrong, it gets debunked really relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Facebook one finds out about it 3 weeks later, and then it takes like you just see really. Like things that aren't true for a long time on there. Like, how do you?
I don't know what. So, for example, what are you talking about? Like
the fake articles and stuff that wasn't
articles. There's bad. I mean, how many times on Facebook do you see people? I would just like serve notice that I do not give Facebook any to consent. Like, that thing has been happening for the last 4 years.
Repost
like,
on
this
your
don't
account.
Matter. This don't matter. Like, this has no legal binding.
So, I like Facebook more because of I feel like I can curate. There we go. Is that it? That's it? That's the one? Sorry.
We'll finish your thought.
I like Facebook more so because I feel like I get to. I like the articles. I like the articles and information. The information. I don't. I'm not duped by those satire pieces. It's so embarrassing when I see people I'm friends with. and they repost it with the seriousness too. Oh,
can you believe what's going on? The Church of Beyonce is actually. There's not actually.
That's not real. Like,
I can't believe they out here worshiping Beyonce like that. Just no. Side note: did you see Beyonce being shamed by her cousins?
I did. Brother, why are you bringing these conversations to the table right now?
Listen, don't look for it. But the meme was when you realize Beyonce. Say is the Kelly Rowland of her cousins.
So she got some bad cousins. What are you saying, bro?
You
don't want to look.
Don't look.
I'm not.
But it was hilarious. I was like, oh.
She said the Kelly Rowland of her cousins.
I'm so lost right now.
Don't worry about it.
Twitter is me. That's another reason why I can't do it. Don't chill.
None whatsoever.
As they say, savage, cuz.
Savage.
And no F's to give.
No, none.
That's you didn't ask me. Y'all stopped it. But my thing is I appreciate about Twitter the most is the immediate slander and life ending commentary that comes from Twitter as soon as you make a mistake.
Oh, bro.
It's over with.
It is over for your life.
It's over. Like, my favorite one was Toni Braxton's little sister when she had them ridiculous snuffleupagus eyelashes on whatever show she was. She was on some award show looking like high out of her mind. She was looking like Whitney Houston high, and they immediately went in on her and ruined her life. And it was just a good situation.
Well, and it's like, it only takes like 3 or 4 like good edited images to circulate, so because it's just like copy my own take on this picture and it just circulates so quickly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, man. I mean, I guess we should end by or this part of it by, you know, your Twitter handle is Amisho Baraka.
It is.
People look for Show Baraka and don't find you.
That doesn't exist. That mug is. So I had it just to hold on to it, thinking that, you know, one day I'll use it again. And then I closed it, not without knowing that once you close an account, you can't reopen it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So there's somebody else right now.
No, it's just it doesn't exist. Wow. It's done. Like, I don't think you can reopen.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, once an account is closed. So sure. So that's why when I went to, because I got off Twitter for a while, and when I jumped back on, I was like, well, I don't want to go by Lions and Liars anymore. So I was like, what can I do? And that's why I was like, I'll just go by my full name. Yeah. And people to this day still don't get that it's my name. They think I'm asking a question.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah,
I
don't
know. And I thought that was dope. So that's part of the reason why I chose it. I was like, it could be.
Here's what I want to put out there in the universe. If you own Fake Show Baraka, if you could hit me up at dan@fourthdistrict.com, that profile has so much potential, but it's not being utilized.
Yeah. And you know what else? Well, I don't know about that one, but the one that actually was golden for a while was Show Baraka Lyrics. That mug was hot. Like, they was sending out some of my bars. They need to go ahead and reignite that one.
Get it going.
Well, I used to own.
They only had 14 tweets, but they were hot for a second.
Was it really only 14?
Yeah.
But those 14 were fire though.
For some reason, I felt like it was more than 14.
Maybe they deleted them. Maybe
I used to
Twitter
own fake. Like, I think I started. I think I started fake Reach Records.
Yes.
I think I started it. Me and DJ Official started Fake
that
Reach
was
Records.
You?
Yeah, and we was going in, bro.
I didn't know
we
that.
We was killing it. And then I
hurt somebody's feelings.
Yeah, I think we stopped. Yeah. And then I started another account that was called I Love Christian Hip Hop or something like that. And we were just going in on artists.
Interesting.
It was crazy.
I don't understand the novelty behind parody accounts. Like from the perspective of like
I love some of them.
Well, like if you're a parody account and you're using the voice of who you're parodying, then that makes sense. But I don't understand people who follow like fake Will Smith, who's just talking like
yeah,
a real person.
Yeah,
like
that's
just
dumb.
Be the real person.
That's dumb.
And you can have all that insight. But
again, because you have no friends, and
no
this
friends.
Is what you have to do.
But yes, yeah. They can find you on C John Roar.
SeeJonRoar.
Dan Dunk. Dan.
DUNC.
And Adan Bean. Adan. BEAN.
Yeah,
that's what I got for you.
Cool. Are we done, or are we trying to go to another? Do we need something else for side B? Are we straight?
This is your show, sir.
Two hours, 13 minutes is where we're at.
All right, so let's close it out with the winners. Mm. This is it. All right, this is how we're gonna close out every episode. Yeah. All right, so before we close it out, what we're gonna do is. As of right now, I'm calling it the scratch of the day, scratch of the week, cut of the week,
scratch
of the week.
Scratch.
I don't know. This is a winner of the week. Oh, yeah, scratch of the week. Oh, yeah, this is where Dan.
Oh, scratch like
a,
because
it's off the record. You know what I'm saying?
Scratch.
So, I forgot who mine was. Oh, I got a couple. I had a couple of them. Yeah, I had a couple of them. Just because it's I'm leading, I'm not gonna start, Dan. Yes, scratch of the week.
Is this just like our favorite song? Or?
No, it's just a person, place, anything that.
This is 1997 scratching.
Yeah.
All right, so Dan, give us your scratch of the week, my dude.
It can be a person. It can be.
Yeah, it can be D's in it.
So we gonna act like we know what we're talking about. So we're not gonna preface it. So when I say. Give us your scratch of the week. Go right into it. But yes, it's going to be a person. It could be a person. It could be a thing. It could be an event. It could be anything. It's just something that, you know, you want. And it's short. Like, just, you know, a minute, 2 minutes. All right.
I need to think about this. I don't.
All right.
Or don't go to me.
All right. Let me see. I could probably start it off.
I'll give you mine.
All right. Ooh. Yo. So we're going into our last and final segment that we're going to do regularly every week. Our scratch of the week. My man Adan Bean, give me your scratch of the week.
Man, my scratch of the week, you know, this is super unplanned, but I will have to give it to soon to be Sierra Wilson, okay?
Oh, wow. Okay.
Go ahead, Sierra.
Sierra won. I don't know what y'all talking about.
Yo, wasn't there like a. So there was a post going around calling her a high end pass around or something like that?
Oh, that's just foul.
Yeah, and it was like very disrespectful. I thought that was like so disrespectful.
Yeah. I mean, I think that. Russell Wilson is likely like lame, right? Like I think so.
Right,
I want to be polite, but I think yeah. But
lame of Hall of Fame,
good the lame of lames,
good brother, and she made a wonderful move for her life.
She won.
She won.
One more baby by another baller.
I'm just
win.
Ooh, I. Just gonna let JP have that, but
sorry.
Really, all of them really saying that. I mean, for
have
someone
a baby
who,
by me, baby, be at a millionaire.
Hey,
at the time, though, like when you look at Sierra, because let's be real, like Sierra has no music that we're really like, wow.
No,
true.
We don't. But Sierra,
one two step.
But Sierra has, she seemed to carry herself with class, yeah. And she has. I think she has. She has a great like a personality. I could see her having work. Going for her. She's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
But I'm just amazed. Like, she, you know, moved on from what, 50 Cent? Dated for a while.
Really?
Future.
Yeah.
We know we're there. And
Amari Stoudemire, Lil Bow Wow.
It was a lot.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, she moved on to Russell Wilson and they look happy. They look like they're enjoying one another.
That's dope.
And that's awesome. Yeah, yeah.
Didn't the wife, the ex-wife throw some shade?
She
or like
did.
What did she say?
I think she said, oh, my ring was bigger or something like that.
That's
Are you serious?
Wow. And he wasn't balling when he married her.
He
right?
wasn't. He wasn't. And, but if her ring was bigger, that's crazy because Ciara's ring looked glacial. Like,
it but
looked...
it goes back to your first point of being sucker of the year. Maybe he been about that. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
But I know his ex-wife looked super salty.
She should be.
And she should be. Yeah, so she should be. That's what's up, man. Just shout out to Ciara.
She gets the scratch.
Man, yeah.
Scratch. That's what you... insert scratch. Yo, JP, give us your scratch.
I think the thing about this is we're just never going to insert a scratch. We can just always
just pretend it. Okay, cool.
I just want to, I have my own, but I just want to piggyback on this meme I saw with Russell Wilson in this Hawaiian shirt looking like Junior Seau.
He looks so terrible. In them jeans.
In them jeans. Looking like somebody old uncle with the pot belly and everything. Talking about, and then she said yes, and I said, I'm your future now. Like, that was the best. I was like, this guy, man, he's Manatee Tayo with a real person, bro. Like, he catfished, but not really. Like, what happened? But shout out to my pediatrician who I met for the first time. Some new guy took the daughter in, 11 months old. She got this wet cough that comes up at night. Shout out to him for telling me it's just allergies and not like the flu or whooping cough or some other situation. Like, I'm glad to know that this is something that Benadryl or whatever can take care of. Like, I appreciate your work, sir. I don't know how much I'm going to owe you now for you telling me it's allergies when I saw her watery eyes and her runny nose, but still got nervous. Could have troubleshooted that myself. You know what I'm saying? WebMD. But shout out.
Word.
So, you know, I'm going to shout out D1 because he finally made a decent song.
Forever just shade, just like the biggest shade tree. Just like, just bro, just a bus.
He just called you Bossa.
You just drive the bus waiting for D1 at a stop. Yes. Like, oh, there go D1's bus stop right there.
Petty Wop.
Just petty, like, just. Seems like you're petty.
Petty Murphy.
Petty Murphy. Come on, man.
Petty LaBelle.
Petty Crocker.
Petty Richard. Richard Petty. What is going on? You actually love D1. That's what it is.
He stole one of your girlfriends in high school.
Something, bro. Mm-hmm. Goodness gracious.
I mean, he finally, you know, I saw him perform on at South by Southwest via video. And, man, the guy was going in. He was putting some energy in, and he didn't have a red shirt and a yellow shirt to signify two different gangs. So I thought that was a step up on his part.
All right, so we're just going to move on.
Yo, D1 is going to, like, straight clock. Like, one day he's just going to fight you.
He's going to punch you. Oh, you there,
you thinking I'm positive?
Uh-huh. I'm from the streets.
I'm from Fort Wall.
I'm from the streets. All right, so which one should I go with? I have two. Man. I'm gonna go with my man. I'm going to go with Ta-Nehisi Coates on the Black Panther look, the Marvel comic. I've never cared about Black Panther as a character in Marvel.
You of all people.
I know. First of all, I never knew he existed. But to see that my man is not only just, he reminds me of, and I know this comparison is not fair because they're two different people, but he reminds me of a C.S. Lewis of our time to some degree, that he's able to maneuver one in the philosophy world while at the same time be a creative, and I think that's dope. And I'm actually looking forward to some of his works in the comic. But we know that Black Panther is in the upcoming Avengers movie, which I saw. Deadpool, it was cool. It was funny.
I haven't seen it.
It wasn't as good as everybody. Everybody's making it out to be the best Marvel movie ever. Mm-hmm. I just think people loved it because it was cussing. It was like just much of...
You remember my review of it?
I didn't. Sorry.
It's okay.
What is it? Give it to us real quick.
Yeah. I mean, Deadpool is the superhero movie for the adult in the room that liked Bad Santa. It was basically my review.
There you go. Awesome. Yep. I never saw Bad Santa, but I get it. Yeah. I get the gist. Billy Bob Thornton. So anyway, but... I'm gonna save my other scratch for later on in the year, which is
when Donald Trump becomes president.
Who's gonna boy you? Nah. Oh. First of all, let's pour out a little liquor for my man Mark Rubio, who bowed out last week.
Hey man, he's gonna join. What's his name? Ted Cruz. They're gonna be running.
Nah, he's not. I think they said he's not. I think he just said today denied that he. They're about to form a new party, bro.
Cool.
Be on the lookout for that.
The People's Party of.
Republicans or something like that. Anyway, man, thank y'all for joining us, rocking with us. Y'all hit us up with on FO at 4th District. Let us know what you think. Follow us on Twitter at 4thDistrict.com, on Facebook the same, Instagram, all that good stuff. Follow us individually on Twitter as Adon already gave out our handle. Love y'all. Stay woke.